All right. Thank y'all for coming this morning. Let's see what we can learn today. Renew our mind. Change our thinking. We are, I was going to press to get this book finished by the end of the year. But then I said, you know, I don't want to miss anything. And so, you know, last Sunday we did one whole page. But it was, I felt like the input, the discussion was good. It was enlightening. And so, you know, we will just receive what we can receive today and add to that, build upon what we've already learned. But let's pray. Father, we just come before you with praise and thanksgiving in our heart. Father, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share your word today. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share this book. I'm grateful for the revelation that you have given Joseph Prince concerning Psalms 91. And Father, we just want to glean from that revelation today. The greatest need that we have in our life is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because Father God, when you get revelation, your heart changes. And things change in our lives. And we can see clearer and we have an understanding. And we can make wise decisions. And so we just thank you for that Holy Ghost being our wisdom, being our revelation today. And I just ask that you would talk to us and enlighten us. And we just receive it with thanksgiving in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I made this statement last Sunday, and probably the Sunday before. It's really come to my understanding, my enlightenment, that, you know, this book that we're reading about Psalms 91, the revelation that's contained within this book, really should bring us to a more intimate relationship with Jesus. And, of course, with the Father and the Holy Ghost. And that's, you know, that's where prayer comes from anyway. It should come from our heart. Have the opportunity to talk to the Father and make requests of Him. But we stopped last week on page 175. But I want to go back to page 174 for just a moment. And it's the second full paragraph, first full paragraph. He says, "Whenever I'm in trouble, I tell the Lord, 'Lord, I'm worried about this situation, but I place it in your nail-pierced hands right now. I surrender into your hands all my worries, concerns, and cares in this area. Then I receive his peace, and when the enemy tries to fire new arrows of fear into my heart and mind, I remind myself that the situation is already in the Lord's hands. I remind myself of his promise that he will deliver me.'" And of course, the verse that we're studying is that we'll call upon him and he will answer us. He will be with us in trouble and he will deliver us and honor us. And we discussed about how important it is to call upon him. That's a key to this scripture working in our lives. And you know, we had some discussion about this last week and about, you know, saying to the Lord, "Lord, I'm worried about this situation." You know, we've been taught not to make bad confessions and so on and so forth. And you know, I talked to the Lord about it some this week. I can't tell you that I got any lightning strike, big revelation or whatever. But the one thing that I did write down in my book is this kind of prayer comes from an intimate relationship. You got to, how can I put this? You know, of course, my most intimate relationship that I have on earth is with my husband. But I have some friends that I consider that I could share this kind of conversation with them. Knowing that they receive it. They don't judge me. They're not going to go and say, "Oh, do you know what Wanda just said?" You know, that kind of thing. That's relationship. That's an intimate relationship. And so we can know that when we talk to the Father from our heart, you know, that's being intimate. This is an intimate prayer that you're praying with the Father. And, you know, we can look at that and say, you know, God says He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. And besides, God's not surprised. That's the thing. He's not surprised. You know, He knows a word before we speak it. He knows a thought before we think it. You know, I mean, He knows my heart like nobody else knows. He knows my fears, my doubts, my concerns, my anxieties. You know, and I do have those. We all have those. As long as we live on this earth, we have the opportunity to have those. Thank God we've learned we're not going to stay there in that place. And this is one way where you don't stay there in that place. So I just wanted to back up for a minute, share that thought with that. But this is an intimate prayer that comes out of relationship. Is it a religious prayer? No. Because, anyway, we'll just go on. Let's go to page 175. A very present help in trouble. And Psalms 46 here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. We do not need to fear, even in times of trouble. Jesus is our very present help, our refuge, and our strength. And, I said last week, this is one of my favorite scripture verses. I've leaned on this verse often. But something new came to me as I was reading it. You know, I was quick to say, Father, you know, You're my refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. And I would stop there. But look at the next verse. Therefore, I will not fear. And it's there, why? Why will we not fear? Because He's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. I felt like the Holy Ghost said, you're missing something. You know, you can say, you're my refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. But then you need to address the fear and say, and because of that, I will not fear in this situation, whatever it may be. It says, what a powerful promise. We do not need to fear because even in times of turmoil and trouble, He is our very present help, our refuge, and our strength. Our part is to call upon Him. And He will answer and deliver us. You know, we did talk last week about sometimes we hesitate to call upon God. You know what we're really good at, or maybe it's just me, but the enemy is really good when you want to talk to God about situations. He's really good about pointing out what you've done wrong, what you haven't done. And so here again, we've talked about this. It's really important that we learn, we know who we are in Christ, and that we can go boldly before the throne of God to obtain mercy and grace in a time of need and address that because there's a lot of people that don't call on God. A lot of Christians that do not call on God. I remember hearing the statistic, I hope it's changed, but that the average Christian prays 2 minutes a day. Two. And, you know, a lot of that comes from, you know, whatever the enemy, because he doesn't want us to pray. The enemy doesn't. I think he understands the power of us talking to the Father more than we do at times. Okay, I want to read this testimony. Sometimes I don't read them, but I want to read this one for a specific purpose. So if y'all listen or follow with me on this, if you haven't read it, it said, this is Melinda, a lady from his church, wrote this testimony. Early one Monday morning, I was driving my 6-year-old son to school. As I exited the freeway, I approached a traffic light junction with heavy traffic. At that time, my son and I were listening to Pastor Prince's sermon CD in the car, and I was amazed by how God had saved Noah and his family from the flood. Suddenly, I heard a loud bang as something hit the back of my car. The next thing I knew, my car was flung into the air. It overturned, landed on its roof, and spun a distance to a halt. As the car was spinning, I knew we were in a serious accident. I knew in my heart that if we crashed into anything, we could be dead or badly injured. I started screaming, "Jesus," at least 5 times until the car finally came to a halt. As I was screaming, my hands were holding on to the steering wheel tightly. I could not even hold my boy. I could only turn my head to look at him. He was sitting beside me that morning. His body was miraculously held to the contour of the sea. Listen to that. Held to the contour of the sea. Even though we were spinning upside down and he only had a seatbelt strapped across his body, his head and legs were not dangling from his seat. His neck could have been broken from the impact of the crash, but he was okay. While seatbelts are important, I knew that it was Jesus who hugged us tightly and saved our lives. My first instinct was to get out as I feared a petrol leak, which could result in an explosion. So I unbuckled the both of us and opened my door. My son and I crawled out of the wreck without a scratch or whiplash. We stood by the side of the road and a lot of passerbys came to our aid. The small car that had crashed into our car was speeding so fast that after sending us flying, it screeched ahead, barreled into another black car and an orange bus. The entire accident caused a massive traffic jam that morning. After we'd gotten out of the car wreck, the picture of Jesus bleeding on the cross kept flashing in my mind. I knew that my son and I didn't have to bleed on the road that morning because Jesus has shed his blood for us. That's pretty tremendous. That's pretty tremendous. After regaining my composure, I went back to my wrecked car to get my bag and my son's school bag with the help of some passerby. Pastor Prince's message was still playing loudly, although the car was in such a bad state. Someone wanted to take my car key out, but I told him there was no need to. The car was already a wreck, and I saw no point in keeping the key. I wanted God's word to be played so that everyone who was present would know that Jesus is the one who saved our lives. That morning, it was effortless and restful to be a witness for the glory of God. I told everyone who came to our aid that Jesus had saved us. Though unharmed, we were urged to follow the ambulance to get a checkup. The driver of the black car that was hit was in a worse state than us, even though our car was more badly damaged than his. When my husband came to meet us at the hospital, he shared with us that he had been driving to work around the time of the car accident and how he felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to switch off the radio and pray in tongues. He also confessed the Lord's favor over our lives, something that we had learned in church the day before. I believe the Lord must have prompted him to pray for us during the time of the car accident. Later in the day, a lady who had stopped to help us at the accident scene called to thank me, even though I thought I should be the one thanking her. She told me that she and her husband had been struggling spiritually in recent months, but they were very blessed by what she saw and heard. That was the message playing in the car. On Friday, my husband and I went to collect the wrecked car for assessment. The car was in such a sorry state, yet my son and I came out unscathed. As we were checking the car, I realized that all the doors but one were jammed and could not be opened. The only door that could be opened was the one we had instinctively used to get out. All glory to Jesus. My family and I were recovering well from the shock and trauma of the accident. I've even started driving again. After what happened, what more is there to fear? Jesus turned a possibly tragic accident into a victorious outcome. No amount of safe driving could have saved our lives. Only Jesus and nothing else. It's pretty tremendous, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of key points here, you know. Of course, they go to Joseph Prince's church, and so they receive from his teaching on a, I'm assuming, a weekly basis and whatever. And one thing that, you know, she was feeding her spirit, you know, the word concerning Jesus. You know, I think that's real important that we do that, whatever word we're listening to, you know, is it about Jesus and the finished work of the cross? To me, that's what I judge, you know, a lot of what I listen to now. And so, you know, and then isn't it interesting when it happened, she cried out, "Jesus." What greater name could she have said? No greater name could she have said. But you know what? That came up out of her, what? Spirit man. You know, came up out of her spirit man. And then, you know, and you know, God had it covered. He was her refuge and strength, the very present help in the time of trouble. But the one thing that I saw out of all this that I said to the Lord is, I said, Lord, this is great. But I want to believe you to the point that this doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I want to get to the place that my faith is so entrenched in the truth that you are my refuge and strength, and that you love me so much that there's not a crack in it that, you know. But you know, when you go out and you drive and you're exposed to a lot of things, but I said I would prefer to not experience, you know, something like this. And I guess we've all in this room had some close calls. I know Carol shared a couple in our class, you know, on Mondays. And we can all, you know, all say that. But just to think that God's ability, his ability to do this and to take care of them, quite a witness to people that were around. And so, you know, God was an ever-present help. And, you know, the scripture that we're studying is, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Well, you know, when she called out Jesus, she was calling upon him. You know, we probably all been in a situation in this room when we went, oh, Jesus. You know, Jesus, Jesus. He's so faithful. Y'all want to make a comment about this before we move on, go a little bit further? Your thoughts or questions?
Kim had a very similar situation happen with her on 81 from a truck. And if you looked at the Explorer after that accident, you would have thought that only she had some nicks climbing out the back of the vehicle. That was it.
Really, Kim? Wow.
Very similar.
Praise God. So you can relate. I mean, God's just faithful. He's just faithful. We put our trust in him. Well, you're here with us, Kim. Praise God. We're glad. We're glad for that. It says, praise the Lord. In her time of trouble, Melinda cried out to the name of Jesus. He answered her. No matter what situation we're in, the Lord is with us and will surely deliver us when we call upon his name. Jesus is with us in our troubles. Now we're going to talk about the story of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says, the book of Daniel records how King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon made a towering golden statue and commanded all in his kingdom to bow down before it and worship it. Three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom the king had appointed to oversee the province of Babylon, refused to do so. Humiliated by their defiance, the king was livid. He gave them one more chance to bow down and worship his golden statue or be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Without flinching, they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. The king was so furious with them that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual and ordered some of his strongest soldiers to bind them and throw them into the furnace. The furnace was so hot that the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the roaring flames, securely bound. Suddenly, the king jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his officials, did we not cast 3 men bound and into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. And of course, this is Daniel. Going as close to the mouth of the flaming furnace, he called. As he could, Nebuchadnezzar called out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. This is just amazing. The 3 men stepped out of the fire, and all the officials and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. In fact, the flames only serve to loose them from their bonds. Amazing, amazing. Amazed at how their God had protected them, Nebuchadnezzar began praising God himself, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." The king then issued a decree stating that if any person spoke a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would be cut in pieces, their houses would be turned in ash heaps, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted the three men to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. Beloved, this is your God. Any insights you want to share from this as you've read it and we've read it? Yes. And I think that's key, Michael. He was in the midst. Just like the woman in the car wreck. God, you know, and by his angels, you know, and the fourth man, I mean, he was in the midst of it. Not standing out here watching, but right in the middle of what we're going through. We can just see that. Yeah. Have a revelation of that. That no matter what we're going through, God's right there. You know, we call on him, you know, but he's right there in the middle of it. And we look for him. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had an expectation. And they said, but if he doesn't. But they still had an expectation. You know, in other words, they were making a statement. Even if he doesn't. You know, I'll not forsake God. You know, I'll not back down. So when we're in the midst of our place, you know, and we ask him to be our refuge and our strength, we need to look for him. You know, look for the little things. You know, I'm reminded of a visit that my mother had in the hospital. Some years back, she had fluid on her lung and it had to be drawn off. And I don't know if you've ever seen anybody have that done or experience it. It's not pleasant. And she'd had it done before, and so she knew what it was going to be like. And it was hard watching her process the situation. But you know, and when they did it, you know, I stepped outside of the room and I'm standing there about to break down. And you know what? God sent a nurse to me. And she said, "Can I help you?" And I just said, "It's just a little tough right now, you know, what's going on." She gave me a hug and she said, "Can I pray for you?" And, you know, and I saw her probably 2 years later in Kroger's. And I said, "Are you a nurse at Radford?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "I want to just remind you of something." And I've said, "I'm grateful to this day for that." But she's just that kind. She's just, you know, that was a provision. In the midst, you know, I needed that. You know, that was, and so we look for those things. Another thing that I saw in this was because of the deliverance they experienced, it caused a change of heart in the king. And we could say he became a believer. I mean, because he's saying, you know, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver his servants who trust in him. He issued a decree stating that if anybody spoke against God, that's a heart change. He saw the miracle working power of God. And so haven't we heard that in the last days, miracles are going to be very, very important because they're going to be calling cards? How many times have we heard that or said that or been told that? They're going to be calling cards for God. It's going to bring people to him. Because it makes God real to them. It takes God off of the written pages of the Word and causes them to be real. And you know, and I've heard, I don't remember who I heard teach this, but that, you know, We've been taught we walk by faith and not by sight. But the world walks by sight. And that's what's gonna minister to them. They don't know how to walk by faith. They've not been taught that. They walk by sight. And so when the miracle happens, it's going to minister to them, you know, and I think would cause some faith, you know, to begin to rise up in their heart that God is real. But that's what I saw here that I thought was so neat. Was that there was a heart change. And then they were promoted. They were promoted in the midst of their trouble. Do you know we need to look for that? In the midst of our trouble, we need to believe God for deliverance and that He, you know, for promotion. Now, you know, what does that exactly mean? I'm not sure. But you know what? This is old covenant. How much better? How much more for us under the new covenant? God's paid for everything. And so, you know, when we're in the midst of a trial, and I mean, you know what? I'll just give you just a little bit of an example. You know, I had a very trying morning, Thanksgiving morning, for a variety of reasons that I won't go into. But anyway, and, you know, part of me just wanted to crawl in bed and pull covers over. And I just said, God, you got to get me through this. And so, and you know, and He was faithful, and He did. And when I got to the end of the day, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. But, you know, I had to call out to Him. And He came to my rescue. I said, you're an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And so, you know, and it had to do with my mom. She called me at 6:30 in the morning and said, Wanda, this and that's going on. Can you come over? And, you know, and whatever. And so, you know, things had to be attended to. Plus, you know, the cooking of the meal and all that. But, you know, He came to my rescue and strength. But then, I don't know, I want God to enlighten me about this promotion part. The king promoted the three men to even higher position. Let's read this next paragraph. There is truly no other God who can rescue like Him. Whatever circumstance you might be thrown into, our Lord Jesus is the fourth man with you in the midst of the fire. Notice how He didn't stand outside of the fire, but was in the fire together with the three friends. This brings a whole new meaning for us when we read the verse. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He'll not leave you nor forsake you. Our Lord doesn't deliver you from afar. He was with you in the midst of adversity. Call upon Him and He will answer you. When Jesus is with you, nothing can harm you. And let's go on. Don't you just love how the Word of God describes the three friends when they came out of the furnace? They were in the fire, but it had absolutely no power over them. It did not even leave a trace of smoke on them. Now that's a beautiful picture of God's divine protection. Beloved, as you call upon the Lord in your day of trouble, my prayer for you is that the trial you're going through will have no power over you. It will not even leave a smell on you. Instead, I declare in Jesus' name that you'll walk out of that challenge in your life, and the only smell on you will be the fragrance of the Lord Jesus. As the people around you witness how the Lord delivers you, may they come to know His wonderful name and give Him praise. Instead of being negatively affected by whatever trial you might face, I pray that you'll receive honor and promotion, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know, and I think a lot of it's just because of what I've been learning here in this book. And so, you know what? That day, God was with me. And by the time I get to the end of the day, there wasn't a smell of defeat on me. There was victory. And it was only by the grace of God. Because I called, and He came to my rescue. And you know where I needed rescuing? Was attitude. I didn't need physical rescuing. It was, honey, it was attitude. I said, God, if you don't help me, you know, heads will roll today. I'm supposed to be thankful. It's Thanksgiving. I'm thankful, Lord. You know, I sure do need some help. But he came to my rescue. And I laugh, but I mean, I'm serious too. And so he came to my rescue. And so I didn't even smell like smoke. The fourth person was in my fiery furnace that was there. You know, we all have fiery furnaces that we get in, don't we? You find yourself in a situation and, you know, you ever had a day where it feels like all hell broke loose that day? And, you know, sometimes it's involved with other people, relationships, or, you know, your job, or, you know, symptoms in your body, or whatever it is. If we look at it that way, you know, they got put in a fiery furnace, and anyway, I won't go on any further. Would y'all like to make a comment about what I've just said? So I felt like I was promoted. Let me just say, I felt like I was promoted to that day. After I read that this morning, I said, thank you, Jesus, for once in my life. You know, because I called out to you. You were my refuge and my strength in the midst of trouble. You know, you came to my rescue. So that, to me, was promotion. Going forward instead of going backwards. Dusty got to witness it. You know, I didn't want to give the enemy any victory. I've done that too many times. All right, we'll start this one here. I love this. This is really, really good. Walk in wisdom to stay safe. It gives me such assurance to know that the Lord can deliver us from trouble. But do you know what's better than being delivered from trouble? Not getting into trouble in the first place. Do what now?
Just what happened
to you. Do what happened to me?
You didn't get into trouble. What?
That's right, Carol. I guess we're going to talk about wisdom, you know, and I guess I was smart enough to just say, you know what, I can't handle this on my own. Let me just give you a little bit more to show you to what degree this is. You know, I just started cooking green beans that needed to go in a crock pot. My mama calls me, bless her heart. She says, I'm sick on my stomach. And my shoulder's hurting really bad. And it was legit, you know. And I said, well, mama, you know, I said, I'm cooking green beans. And she said, well, what time are you coming? And I said, I'm coming at 9. And she said, well, are you about ready to come? This was at 6:30. Well, but about 7 o'clock. And so I said, okay. I said, just let me gather everything up and I will be there. So I get there. My mother has crawled in the bed and she has gone to sleep. Does that give you any? Love her heart. And I said, Mom, I'm here. But you know what? Things had eased and I had prayed. I was glad. I was glad for her. But anyway, so I said, just stay in the bed. I got everything under the control. And so I went and I just sat down and I gathered myself a little bit. And anyway, yes, Carol, God gave me wisdom before I got into trouble. And so anyway, it says, not getting into trouble in the first place. My dear reader, don't just see miracles and protection from God without seeking the wisdom from Him to stay protected and out of trouble. You know what? I've never thought about praying, God, keep me out of trouble. Have you? And I get in trouble with my words. I get in trouble with my attitude, you know, especially with family, you know. This is a new prayer for me. Give me wisdom to stay protected and out of trouble. I mean, I'm not going to get in trouble I'm not going to go down the bank and rob it and get in trouble. You know what? I'm not going to go get drunk and get trouble, you know. But it's probably more relational with me. You know, help me to stay out of trouble where my husband's concerned. Right, honey? Right?
Yep.
Don't just seek miracles and protection from God without seeking the wisdom from Him to stay protected and out of trouble. There are times when the challenges that we face are beyond our control. But I found that oftentimes we experience His protection when we follow the Holy Spirit and lean on His wisdom when making decisions. Every day we need His wisdom, just as we need His protection. After all, Proverbs 4:7 tells us that wisdom is the principal thing, and in all you're getting, we need to get wisdom. You know, Mark Hankins says that the Holy Spirit is a genius. And we just listen to Him. You know, we'd be a genius too. And so, at my house, I have a table that, it's a wooden table. And I had something sitting on it, and I moved it across. And I had a spot on my table about this long. It wasn't a scratch that went down in the wood, but it was from a rubber piece that was underneath there. And I rubbed and I rubbed and I rubbed and I rubbed trying to get that off. I should have called you, Kelvin. I know you would have told me. I did think about you. And I was rubbing, rubbing, and I said, how in the world do I get this off? And then I thought, Dawn, on a dish rag, and to clean it. Now, that wasn't something Wanda thought of. That was the Holy Ghost. And I got that, it cleaned it right off. And I thought, and that's when that thought came back to me. I said, Holy Ghost, you're a genius. If I would just listen to you, I'd be a whole lot smarter than I am right now. You know? And so, where does our wisdom come from? The Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And I'm going to stop here because it's 10 after. And I'm real, I look forward to next Sunday. Because we're going to talk about wisdom. And we're going to look in the book of Proverbs a little bit. There's some scriptures I want to add to what he's got in here. And this is just really... I think this is just really profound. Because we pray and we ask God to... I mean, I talk about myself. I've prayed and I've asked God to keep me safe, keep my family safe, blah, 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 blah. But you know, I don't know that I have truly endeavored to really be serious about praying for wisdom to stay out of trouble and wisdom to stay safe. And he refers here to that only Christ or the Holy Ghost can have you be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. And, you know, following after peace in your heart and so on and so forth. But just really prayed that way. You know what? Keep me out of trouble. You know, you're my refuge and strength and ever-present help. In the time of trouble, I'd just soon not have to meet you in that place of trouble. Let's just walk together and stay out of the place of trouble. Give me wisdom. You know what? We get trouble in our finances, don't we? If you never have, then praise God. You get trouble in your finances. You get in trouble in relationships. You get in trouble, you know, eating too much. I don't know. But anyway, we pray for wisdom to stay out of trouble in those places. Thank y'all so much.